Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's Hart and Cattles right here on Boston Sports Station. WEEI.
I'm guessing that the only thing that you might want back or might want to do over on is that throw to Jacoby, who was kind of wide open there in the end zone.
Yeah, it was like throwing a medicine ball, though. But no way. Man, listen, I knew it. I mean, as soon as it left my hand, I was just trying to – it was a couple of those throws, as a matter of fact, last night, where it was just like, bro, God, take the ball, and hopefully it just gets to the right place.
Is that Cam's version of Carrie Underwood? Jesus, take the wheel. God, take the ball. And hopefully it gets to where it's supposed to be. It didn't.
We got some calls about Cam. We'll get to those. But before we do that, Andy, you had a point before we went to break that you wanted to hit on as far as Cam and his improvement that we've seen recently.
And I do think he's improving incrementally because he's more comfortable. Like, he talked about it. He's not taking the COVID fog angle. He's just more taking... I'm on the practice field. I'm stringing together practices and games, and I missed a period of time that was in the infancy of my time here. So he's taking that approach, and I agree with him. But I think the flip side of that is, and I think a bigger part of the picture is, and you had Chris Collinsworth last Sunday night on the broadcast talk about Josh McDaniels articulating, we're starting to know who we are and what we do well and what we don't do well. Yep. And I think that's a big factor in the evolution of this offense. Obviously, some of it is, you know what you do well? You got big, fat, five guys up front that are good at their jobs. And you say, hey, guys, move the guy in front of you. And you say, Damian Harris, run behind those guys, break a couple tackles, pick up extra yardage. That has worked perfectly. You also have Josh, I think. I don't like to say dumbing down the offense because that feels disrespectful to me. But just managing the passing game in a way that works for Cam Newton. We've seen a little bit more of some rollouts with a guy dragging across, kind of traditional college, high school, young offense, you know, execution. And we've seen Jacoby Myers become a guy that Cam clearly feels comfortable throwing the football to. So I think Cam is more comfortable, but I also think the guys around Cam are executing their jobs, and I would include Josh McDaniels and the game plan and the fact that it's always easier to play quarterback if you have a guy running for 100 yards behind you and an offense that's going to run for a buck 50 or 200 yards. So Cam is getting better, I think, but I think the usage of Cam and the offense and the game plans have gotten better as well.
I wouldn't disagree with any of that. And as far as the run game part of it, yeah, I mean, that was the premise. Before this season kicked off, I think you and I have said, I think a lot of people said, about this team when we were talking about it here in Boston was they're going to be a run-heavy team. Whether you call it bully ball or whatever you want to call it, this offense is going to be predicated off of that run game. And with Harris going the way he's been going, that has absolutely, no doubt, helped this offense. And I don't see a reason why Damian Harris would slow down aside from any kind of injury. I think he is legit. You know, when you look at his resume, he's coming from Alabama, and we're at the point where you can't really question any running backs coming out of Alabama. You look at, you know, Derrick Henry and Josh Jacobs and, you know, Robinson, and you've got, you know, Harris here in New England. Harris, let's not forget, he started over Josh Jacobs. So somebody at Alabama thought very highly of Harris and thought he was the better back at that time than Jacobs was. I'm not telling you he's better than Jacobs. Maybe he is. But the point is that he's a legit running back in the NFL. And so I'd be excited about that. Let's go to Dave in Norwood. Hey, Dave.
Hello. You guys are great. There's really no reason Cam can't be a better thrower than he is, better passer. I mean, you mentioned that he's a clunky quarterback. Well, there was no clunkier quarterback that I've ever seen than Brady, and yet he could throw very well. I mean, he was the best thrower there is.
Wait, what was clunky about Brady?
He's very clunky. He's very clunky on his feet.
No. But if you listen to House and some of those guys, these throwers, he has some of the most precise, perfect mechanics of anyone that's ever thrown the football.
He's got great mechanics, but he's still on it. Well, okay, we won't argue that. If you think he's not clunky, fine. But athletically, Cam is very athletic.
Yes.
The problem with Cam is he doesn't throw off his front foot. To compare him to a batter that steps in the bucket. When he does that, the ball, you never know where the ball is going. He's got to throw off his left foot. He's got to come off his right foot on every throw. That right foot should be off the ground, and he doesn't do that. And the reason he doesn't is because he doesn't stand in the pocket consistently well. He will bail rather than get hit.
Dave, do you believe, and I agree with you, the only place where I think we diverge, do you believe in the ability to teach, as the cliche goes, old dogs new tricks?
Yeah, you can. Yes, you can. There's no problem with getting him on that left foot. I mean, you watch Tua throw all these guys, that left leg is stiff. It's straight. It's in the ground. That's all Cam has to do, and he could be a great thrower. This isn't a negative call. It's just that I don't get this, that he can't be a great thrower.
Well, he just never has been a great thrower.
I mean, and thanks for the phone call, Dave. I appreciate it.
Am I being negative or realistic when I ask that question? Because I think when you're 31 right now, and you have played a high level of quarterback for a long, 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 long time, I just don't know how much you can change.
He's a guy, listen, we got to have some balance. I don't think he's going to be a great thrower. He's never been a great thrower. As Andy's saying, the proof is in the pudding, as Mama would say. You know, you've seen this guy. He's mm-hmm. played the position long enough. He is what he is. He's not a great thrower. Can he complete 62 to 64% of his passes in certain offenses with McDaniels as his OC? And yes, he could. And that's my point. I mean, I think people, man, we've got to get away from the hyperbole that just gets thrown around constantly. When you look at Cam Newton, I'm not saying he's great. I'm not saying he's going to, you know, just set the world on fire and complete 70% of his passes and be a different guy. All I'm saying is if Cam could actually get back to the Cam that was in Carolina or give you 85% of that, he's pretty good. He's not great. He's pretty good. And
yes.
So
the problem I have there is I don't know if that Cam is gone, because I don't think he's hurt, but I don't think his shoulder / throwing ability is what it once was.
And you might be right, Andy. And that's why I said the jury is still out for me. I'm going to sit here and tell you what I see on a week-to-week basis. Denver game was terrible. San Francisco game was awful. There's no denying that. What I've seen the last couple of weeks, and I think it goes into what Andy said, it's also, you know, fine-tuning this offense, figuring out what you do well. I think he's improved. Now, maybe 4 weeks from now, some of the same issues exist, and at that point, I'll say, okay, yeah, he just, whether it's the shoulder or whatever, fine. But I'm not going to throw out, you know, 8 to 9 years of evidence of who this guy is as a quarterback at the NFL level. I'm not throwing 8 to 9 years of evidence out the window because I've seen him play 7-8 games this year and with a new offense and having COVID for a couple of weeks, not practicing. Like, I need to see more. If you don't need to see more, fine. If that's where you are, fine. We'll just agree to disagree. I'm going to give him some more time because I respect what he did you know, earlier in his career. Maybe he'll never be that guy, like Andy said. And if that's the case, fine. I'll be front in line saying he never got there.
Also doesn't mean he can't be productive. I mean, we've seen it enough with, you know, Pedro Martinez. Oh, I don't throw 98 anymore. I guess I better learn to pitch at 92, right? I mean, the only thing is how quickly Cam learns his body. And the comparison I continue to use is Chad Pennington, is a guy that lost his arm strength over the years with multiple surgeries, but learned how to throw better, learned how to anticipate and what spot I have to throw to because I can't just sling it in there last minute. And we'll see if Cam evolves because he is still relatively young in the modern quarterback landscape.
He's 31.
Yeah, like early 30s, you still have time. So it's worth investing in himself and changing himself if he does want to do it. And I didn't mean to come off as a homer there. Defending Tom Brady, I just didn't believe he was a, quote, clunky thrower of the football.
No, I don't think
I missed
you,
that part.
I don't think you came across as a homer. I think you came across as a realist. Okay, let's go to Scotty and Lynn.
Hey, how's it going, guys? With all due respect, I do not know what Dave from Norwood's smoking on saying that Tom Brady's clunky. I mean, he's got six rings. Listen, I called to talk about Cam Newton, but I just had to get that off my chest. My biggest problem with Cam Newton is ball security right now. I mean, if he doesn't fumble that ball at the end of the Buffalo game, we're talking about an AFC East that we have a shot at winning. Mm. I think that was the biggest play of the season to this point. Mm. We need a guy who can protect the football. I think Ian Book's the guy. I think you can get him late in the draft.
Whoa.
He's a stud at Notre Dame right now.
This is a growing plus thing.
$5,000 for the Heisman.
Okay,
plus
okay.
$5,000 for the Heisman. Sneaky. But
Scotty, hold on a second. Hold on a second. I'm a Notre Dame fan, okay? You're talking with a Notre Dame fan. I like Ian Book. All I'm going to say before you continue is it's a tough case to make about ball security when Ian Book fumbled against Clemson in the red zone just a couple of weeks ago in a big moment.
You got me there. I was sick to my stomach. I almost threw up during that play.
Me too, buddy.
I had the Notre Dame money line. He ended up finishing the job. He's the most winningest quarterback in Notre Dame. He gets the job done. He wins football games.
Yeah,
he can do it on the ground. He can do it in the air. I would like to see him pass the ball a little bit better. I think he's afraid to make decisions in certain situations, but I think he's a better option than Newton.
Scotty, let me jump in. Again, I'm willing to be patient with Cam. As far as Ian Book, the question about Book is, as you mentioned, he doesn't love taking risks at times. The other question about Book is his arm strength. And people wonder if he has a strong enough arm. When you're talking about the NFL and you're not scheming up offense, as Andy has brought up in this show, and you're not making easy passes, and you know you've got to zip the ball in a tight window, a lot of people have questions about Book's arm strength. As far as football IQ, as far as you know athleticism, he's a pretty accurate quarterback. You know, I like Book. I'm not ready to sit there and say like he can be a franchise guy just yet. We'll see how his arm strength rates out, and we'll see how he finishes off this season. But I do think he's an NFL quarterback. Now, is that as a starting quarterback or a backup for 10 or 12 years? I'm not so sure yet, but I do think he'll be in the league.
Scotty's not the only one I've heard say that, though. This is a little bit of a growing thing I've heard in Patriot Nation. I don't know if it's just because he's the Notre Dame quarterback, so he's on TV a lot, so you watch him a lot, whatever. And they obviously have been successful and they're winning, but I've heard this name thrown around quite a bit.
Interesting. Interesting.
You don't like it, though, as an Irish guy.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. The text line is 37937. You can follow me on Twitter at Nick C Radio. I like him as a quarterback. I want to see more from the arm strength. And arm strength is something that people think that you can develop. So, you know, maybe if you tell me he can develop a little bit more arm strength, I could see him being a starting quarterback in the league. Of course, Andy is also on Twitter at Jumbo Hart. More of Hart and Cattles coming up next on Sports Radio WEEI.
Sports talk nonstop. This is Hart and Cattles on EEI.
So I want to talk about this Patriots team and their chances of actually making the playoffs. Andy, you think they got a chance to make the playoffs?
So you're saying there's a chance. There is a chance. I don't think it's a great chance. Now, I also think that the road we're going down of Corona, COVID, could also expand their chances when they literally expand the playoff field.
Coronavirus.
So, Are you rapping?
So you're telling me there's a chance.
That's Cardi B. Have you ever
seen
it? The Cardi B video that just...
Not really.
You never saw that?
I don't see a lot of...
All right, during a break, you got to look up the Cardi B coronavirus video. It'll be in your head for the rest of the day.
Okay. But obviously, if you expand to 8 playoff teams, that gives you literally a better chance to make the playoffs. I think it's a long shot. Again, a team that you need to at least go 5-2, right? Are we saying that? You at least have to go 5-2 to make the playoffs, I would think. Do you feel good about them going 5-2, almost regardless of the opposition? And then when you include, you know, Cardinals are a pretty good team, right? And you get a tough spot for any team when you go to L.A. and play 2 games in 4 days. Like, that's a tough spot, even for a good team.
Listen, 5-2 is possible. I don't know what the percentages are, but I do think 5-2 is possible. I've said all year long that this team could be 4-6 through the first 10 games and make a late season run. They win tomorrow, they're actually ahead of schedule. It's crazy.
Look at you, the optimist. They're ahead of schedule.
No, I'm saying if they win tomorrow, if they don't win tomorrow.
You must think they're going to win, right?
Yeah, I think they'll beat Houston. Okay. I think it'll be closer than people expect, but I do think they can win that game. But, you know, Houston, again, tomorrow, absolutely winnable game. I think Arizona's a winnable game, especially the fact that they've got to fly cross country and come here. And you just saw them struggle a little bit with Seattle's defense, and Seattle's defense is no great shakes. The Chargers-Rams, I think you could split out of those 2 games. And I think you could beat Miami, and I think you could beat Buffalo. So, you know, I do think 5-2 is possible. As far as the playoffs, now I know 538 has not been the greatest at predicting things at all times. But your guy, Ryan Hannibal, he tweeted out something that grabbed my eye this week. According to 538, the Patriots currently have a 21% chance of making the playoffs. If they beat Houston, that would go up to 30%.
Ooh.
If they lose tomorrow, it goes down to 7%.
Wrong.
And before I saw...
Fake news.
Before I saw that Hannibal tweet, it's kind of weird because I had been saying if people wanted me to like pick a number randomly about the percentage of the Patriots getting there, I actually would always say like 20%. I always give it like kind of like about a 20% chance of making the playoffs. And then 538 comes out and says they got a 21% chance of making it right now.
Look at you. Wrong minds think alike.
So we'll see. I do think it's possible. I do think it's possible because of the schedule that remains. And it is, you know, I got killed on Twitter a couple of weeks ago after the Cam fumble and the loss to Buffalo. Chris Curtis calling me out on Twitter. I had tweeted that, hey, this team could be, you know, at the time it was, I think, 5-3 or whatever. This team could be 5-3 or whatever it was, you know, if it wasn't for the failing of execution. And, you know, I think some people read that and took away from it like, oh, he's trying to put a lipstick on. He's trying to put lipstick on a pig. That wasn't my point. My point was you go back to Seattle and Buffalo. If they execute at the end of those 2 games, this entire narrative that has been surrounding the Patriots would be different. Now, they didn't execute, which leads me to my point. This team is in the middle. It's what it is. I said this on Wednesday night. I've said this for the past couple of weeks. Andy, every single year, I think a lot of fans don't truly appreciate the mediocrity in the NFL because for 20 years, they have watched a team that was always a contender, that was always mentioned as a Super Bowl favorite or somebody that could get to the Super Bowl year after year after year after year. And what people fail to acknowledge or recognize, some of them, is, you know, not just, you know, the spoiled factor, but they might not have a clear idea as to what this league is. What this league is and what it's been for a long time and what I think it will be moving forward, you've got a handful of teams at the top that's in the discussion. You know, the Kansas Cities of the world. That's where the Patriots had been. You've got those top 5 teams. Then you've got the bottom feeders, the teams that suck. You walk in and you go, that team is just waiting for a top 5 pick. Then you've got like, you know, 20 teams or so that are in the middle. And when you're in the middle, which is where the Patriots are, you could call it purgatory. When you're in the middle, if you execute, you can win 9 or 10 games. If you fail to execute, you'll end up winning 7. That's where this team is. So, you know, when I said that this team could win 9 or 10 games, I wasn't saying to any of you that this team was great. they're stuck in the middle. If they execute, they could win 9 or 10. If they fail to do that, they'll win 7. And so you go back to Seattle and Buffalo, those two games, when they fail to execute because they're not as good as they used to be, the margin for error is much smaller. You go back to those two games, that could be the difference between this team being 7-9 and, you know, 9-7 or 10-6. It's as simple as that. And once we embrace that and understand that's the reality of this season, I think all of us will be better off for it.
That is definitely the reality of this season. I think where you get into the bigger conversation, and it's why we had the conversations probably 3 weeks ago, a month ago, about tanking and, you know, to what end kind of, oh, if they go on a run, they can make the playoffs, is are they in your, what you just described, are they in that for a long period of time?
Right.
And do you get caught in, I think Ryan Hannibal wrote a column, you end up in purgatory, NFL yes. purgatory. We've heard it a lot for years in the NBA. You end up in that weird bottom of the lottery, yep. you know, top of the playoff, like whatever. And can you do something about it? And that's where you get into tanking ideas.
Yes. And my thought has always been you don't need to tank. There's not, that's not the only path to take because of the circumstances the Patriots will be dealing with in the offseason. They will have a ton of draft picks, and they will have more than $70 million in cap space. Now, what does Belichick do with it? That's the $1 million question, because we could look back at this season, Andy, and say, yeah, hey, they had that kind of, you know, stuck in the middle year, and they got through it. That led to the offseason, and now we look back at 2020 as a speed bump instead of a crater. If Belichick fails in his team building and the offseason doesn't go well, we will look back at 2020 and say that was truly the beginning of the end of the Bill Belichick era. If he does a good job, we'll look back and say, you know what? It was a speed bump. You know, it was sometimes miserable to get through that year, but we got through it, and it led us to a really good offseason, and then now we're back in that conversation that I mentioned of the top five or six teams every year. It depends on what Bill does this offseason. It really does.
And you know what you made me just think of? These two teams that are going to play Sunday afternoon are kind of exact opposites in yeah. that way. They yep. have the quarterback, right? They yep. have no cap space. They have no draft picks. Yep. But they have a guy that I think most people, although Tom Curran doesn't believe this, I think most people would say they have a franchise quarterback who's a top 5-7 type guy in Deshaun Watson. And the Patriots have a better coach, a better salary cap, better draft pick situation, but they don't have a quarterback. And it's sort yep. of... which one would you rather be? Which scenario would you rather be in? Belichick with all the opportunities? Or I got Deshaun Watson, now I need to fill in around him and find a way?
Yeah, I mean, the text line 978, if my aunt had bleep, she would be my uncle. Well, again.
It's true, you know.
When we talk about execution, I am acknowledging that they failed to execute. But that is the point. You know, when you're the team the Patriots are, you know, we've been watching this football team for the last 20 years. If something went wrong, if they failed to execute, they always had Tom Brady, right? Or they had a great
that clunky
defense.
QB, Tom Brady.
Yeah. You know, they don't have that, obviously, this year. So the margin for error has closed big time. So, yeah, if they execute, if I know you hate the word if they execute, they could win 9-10 games. If they fail to execute, which
they're
is what's happened.
They're porked.
Then they're 7-9, maybe 8-8 at best. So, you know, that's where you're at. And I would rather, again, it depends on what Belichick does. But honestly, you know, I like the position that the Patriots are in. They've got to take advantage of it this offseason. If they don't, then, you know, criticize Belichick up and down and kill him for a bad offseason.
Oh, but I will.
And I will too. I will too, Andy. But they're in position. That's the point. They are in position to kind of rebuild here on the fly if they can do it. Let's go to Ron in New Hampshire. Hey, Ron.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Super.
Hello.
Super, Ron. Super. Let's go.
Super. Let's go. I have a question. When you were talking about wide receivers, you never mentioned Isaiah Ford. I don't have my notes in front of me, but I thought when they got him from Miami that he was a 10-touchdown player. He caught 10 passes. I don't seem to hear anything about him. What is he?
Well, he's here. that's what I got for you.
Thanks for the call, Ron.
He 10 touchdowns? I don't believe that's the resume. He's a good little player that they were interested in, but, I mean, you swapped a seventh-round pick for him. He's a slot inside outside kind of guy.
Isaiah Ford has, by football reference here, zero touchdowns.
That's what I thought.
Maybe he had 10 catches?
I think he had a few more than that this year. He actually had a bunch of catches against the Patriots at the end of last year.
Well, to be fair, Ron did say he did not have his notes in front of him.
Looks like he's got 18 catches in his career.
No, okay. I don't know what Ron was talking about.
Oh, I don't think Ron did it. But I love you, Ron. Thanks for the call. Next time, a little tip from the radio business. I'm new to it, too, so don't worry about it. Just turn the radio down a little bit, because bad hosts like me, immature hosts, like to say, hello, and hear myself talk in your radio.
Sorry, I should check that. He actually has just over 40 catches, 41 in his career.
But yeah, I thought so, because didn't he have like 28 at some point? Yeah.
Still no touchdowns, though.
The disrespect of Isaiah Ford is through the roof.
And I'm not even worried that he doesn't have any touchdown catches. You know why? Patriots don't throw touchdown passes, so it really doesn't matter.
Hey, Hart and Cattle, Sports Radio WEEI on a Saturday morning.
We're right back to Hart and Cattle on Boston Sports Station, WEEI.
Get to something that has Andy all fired up on this Saturday morning. But before we do that, let us first go to Paul, Long Island. He's been patient waiting for us. So, Paul, what's going on, my man?
Hey, how are you, gentlemen? Good morning.
Doing well.
Morning.
Yes, to me it's good morning. I work till 1 in the morning.
Oh.
Listen, I'd like to speak to about Cam's mindset. You know, any player that comes back from an injury, that's one of the toughest things to kick in. I think it's kicking in right now, and I'm hoping that one brother will help another brother Sunday. You know, I mean, the guy's got a contract, Cornell's got a job, O'Brien is fired. I mean, to me, if you put a steel curtain around Cam or any quarterback, being all these players opted out, how would you like to be in his shoes? He had his up and downs too. I mean, don't get me wrong, but I think the worst of the schedule is over. I only worry about Spider Murray. He's like a spider. And the Rams. That's it.
Hmm. All right, Paul. Thank you for the phone
call.
Paul. I appreciate it.
Spider Murray.
Spider Murray.
He's kind of like a little spider or a crab, maybe. He takes all those little steps.
Listen, I like Kyler Murray. I do think some of the MVP talk was a little too strong too early, based off of, you know, the Hail Mary. Everybody started losing their minds. He's still a quarterback that's pretty much in the middle of the road when you look at QBR and passer rating. And even from game to game, he's been a little up and down this year. He's better, and I think he's going to be good. Don't get me wrong. Again, I just don't think he... You know, when you talk about MVP, I think he's behind a few other guys when you talk about him being part of that ilk. Yeah, I mean, which games, Andy? I mean, I think, you know, Arizona game is a game that certainly would concern me when we look at the remaining seven. Maybe, you know, I'm not really afraid of Jared Goff, so I don't know if I'd say I'm afraid of the Rams, but the Rams defense is good.
Mm.
So, you know, that might be one, but I'm really not afraid of Houston tomorrow. I'm not afraid of the Chargers. You know, we know the track record of Belichick with rookie quarterbacks. I think he'll have something for Herbert. I'm not afraid of Miami, and I'm not afraid of Buffalo. So, Arizona, yeah, that game concerns me, and maybe the Rams because of that defense.
I don't know if the phraseology afraid of, I think they could lose to any one of those teams. Am I going to be picking against them necessarily in every game? No. Like, this is a game this week.
I don't think they're a clear favorite in any game.
You could lose this game this week. I'm picking the Patriots to win. Like, Buffalo, you could lose to Buffalo. You could lose to Miami.
Yes.
Other than the absolute spot and the weirdness of you're staying in L.A. for 4 days, the Chargers are a team. That would really surprise me if they beat the Patriots, especially the way Herbert looks now with the haircut. I mean, if you play a 14-year-old quarterback with bad acne, you should beat a 14-year-old quarterback.
He looks like Sid from Toy Story. It's ridiculous.
Hold on. I mean, he has no control over the acne.
Nor do I. I get big zits. I have big zits in my life.
I don't know if we should be taking shots.
Get rid of that.
I don't even care about that. Keep the hair.
Get rid of that.
What happened to Samson or whatever when he cut his hair?
It's called proactive.
Bad news.
You got $1 million.
Oh, leave him alone. Now you're bullying. I was just making a joke. Now you're bullying.
I had acne. I can make fun of other people.
We all have. It happens. It's part of life. I still get big zits occasionally. It happens.
Well, zits are not acne. That's a different world. I mean, you can have a zit or two.
That's what I get.
Acne is like the colony of zits.
Oh, Cattle's the dermatologist over here. Thanks.
Dr.
Cattle. Oh, yeah. God forbid I know what acne is. Oh, I'm a real genius, Eamon. Oh, look at me knowing what acne is. Anyway, I think we're saying the same thing, but in different ways, Andy, as far as the schedule that remains. I'm not saying that, the Patriots are going to cruise. I think they could lose to any team on the schedule that remains. I'm just saying teams that I would fear, or that I would say to myself, oh, that's going to be a really tough one, or I think Arizona is the most dangerous of the teams that remain.
Yes, but I actually feel better about that after what the team did as a front seven to Lamar Jackson and the Ravens. Because athletic,
Carl Davis is a thing.
He is a thing, and that's good.
If he can continue to play in the middle of that defensive line and give them that big presence at nose tackle, which they needed. They thought they were going to get it with Bo Allen, and then, of course, we know what happened with Allen. Davis could actually help this defense and have a bigger impact than anybody thought.
And you remember how he arrived, what Belichick said about him. He has experience, and he was available. That was the glowing letter of recommendation that Bill Belichick gave Carl Davis upon arrival.
He is available. Indeed.
Okay, so when do I get to rip Joe Judge?
Yeah, I was just going to get to it, my friend.
I'm all bottled up, ready to go.
Michael Silver tweets out talking about Joe Judge and making the case that the Patriots system is supreme. Judge and some ex-New England assistants have openly, so not only Judge, but others, have openly denigrated the abilities of Tom Brady, claiming he struggles when it comes to throwing deep, throwing outside the numbers, and moving in the pocket. So there you have it. Mike Silver saying that Joe Judge, for all intents and purposes, calling Tom Brady a system quarterback.
Who the bleep is Joe Judge to do that? And I don't care whether, if he wants to do that with his wife, like, you know, at the dinner table, okay, that's one thing. But he's clearly doing it openly around players, other coaches, scouts, team meetings. Who the bleep are you, Joe Judge, to question what Tom Brady has accomplished? I think it's a little ridiculous. We hear these snippets. Remember Bill thinks that he can win with the 15th best quarterback. So Bill has a little bit of this, but he's Bill Belichick. He's been a head coach for multiple decades. He has a boat that is named 8 rings. Joe Judge, you've had 1 year as a position coach and now 1 year as a head coach. And you think you should have the balls to question Tom Brady?
You guy have the balls, you guy?
Joe Judge is going to crash and burn in epic fashion. I'm going to enjoy it because I'm not a big Joe Judge fan. He's disrespectful to people. He's arrogant. He has a dictator mentality when he hasn't ascended to the spot where he should have a dictator mentality. He swears way too much on the practice field for my liking, using F-bombs for every Tom, Dick, and Harry that comes by that does anything in the kicking game. I can be honest with you. Oh, he's also the worst thing when you are super abrasive and also super sensitive and you read something hypothetically on Patriots.com that maybe a fellow Patriots employee wrote. And you talk to PR like, what's this guy's deal? Why is he writing about specialty? Bleep you, Joe Judge. I am done.
That was impressive. I enjoyed that.
I don't like Joe Judge.
We'll punch you in the nose for 60 minutes.
And I like him. I'm a hardo. He's a hardo. Hardo should stick together.
I could tell, and I think everybody else could tell, that you are not a big fan of Joe Judge. I will say this about Judge. And, you know, you could say how he handles himself and all that. So, okay. The Giants are playing pretty hard. And so, you know, we'll see. I don't know if this is going to, you know, make sense at the end of the day as the Giants look back as a great hire, or, you know, I don't know that just yet. But when you look at what he's done the last month, I think he's getting more out of that football team than people expected. So we'll see. You know, maybe he's one of those guys where that personality and the way he carries himself works for him. And maybe won't work for anybody else. From the 401, you guys make no sense. You're saying you're afraid of Arizona, but you're not afraid of Miami. Miami beat Arizona, beat the Rams. I mean, we can play that game all the time, right? Oh, this team beat that team, then that team beat. And then that means this team's going to beat this team. What I would say is Miami has a rookie quarterback, right? And I love Tua Tagovailoa. I mean, I think he's a franchise quarterback. But if we're going to play the you beat them, they beat them. Andy, remind me, who did the Patriots beat in game one of the season?
Miami.
Oh, no way. No way. Let's go to Eddie in the car. Hey, Eddie.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
You know, we've gone from, we say we, Patriot fans have gone from competing for championships to competing for respect. And I just think it's a little kind of crazy, and maybe it just fell into the Patriots' hands and this is the way it had to go. But, you know, they ran off a quarterback that they claimed was, you know, washed up, and they brought in a washed up quarterback. And, you know, he's not going to bring you to the promised land. You know, he might get you some games or whatever, but the best of his days are behind him. And this Patriots team is no longer good enough to win with just an average quarterback that doesn't make mistakes. They need to be better than that.
Eddie, I don't disagree with where the Patriots are right now as far as not being a good enough team to win with mistakes. We've talked about that earlier in the show. And I don't want to litigate the Brady thing again. I mean, it's been talked about more than enough, okay? I'm not going to go down that road. My question to you is...
We don't have to go down that road, but these guys were not prepared for this year, and you need to be prepared. You need to have players to report. When you have a star like that that's going to leave, you have to have somebody ready to move in. And they dropped the ball, and as a Patriot fan, I don't watch them that much anymore because I'm just not interested in them. I think they dropped the ball. For a guy who plans everything and he has all his I's dotted and his T's crossed, why the hell didn't he cross these T's? Why didn't he dot these I's?
All right, Eddie, I appreciate the phone call. Great job, my man. We've discussed that in the past. You know, Belichick, did he address the quarterback position well enough in Brady's final year or two? The answer would be no. I think we all agree with that. They could have handled that situation much better than they did. But, I mean... I don't know. I mean, the Brady stuff, I'm tired of it. I am. And I know as a sports radio host in Boston, I'm not supposed to say that, but I'm just tired of it. Like, we're in week 11. Like, he's not walking through that door, as Patino would say. It's done. So, I mean, I also have a tough time with Eddie, even though it was a great call. I have a tough time with your evaluation of the team, Eddie, when you tell me you don't watch them. So, I mean, what are we doing?
Well, he might have watched the first month and lost interest.
Okay, so then he quit on a team after 1 month, which is, hey, if that's his deal, that's his deal.
Well, to be fair, though, they were, what, 2-2 at that point? They almost pulled up an upset in Seattle. They almost pulled off an upset in Kansas City. Might have wanted to stick with them. But I also just think it's a little early to pull the plug. And this is the biggest issue we've talked about.
No way, it's 2020, Andy. Andy, it's 2020.
I know.
You give everything in this world like 2 weeks. And if you don't like it by week three, it's done. It's dead. It's buried.
But the boring reality is the answer that everybody wants to.
Don't talk about reality. This is sports radio, Andy.
Brady Belichick isn't coming for a while because Brady has his here and now chance. Belichick's chance is more longer term. Now, it's going to go down. You've said, you know, if this is a bridge year and you bridge to next year and use the cap money and use the draft picks and the youth movement that we saw against Baltimore is a real thing and they're good next year, okay, we reset. We reset the books and we're going in a different direction. Now, if they stink next year worse than they stink this year and, you know, Kyle Duggar's an aberration, he's not a building block and you don't have a quarterback and all these things, well, then you start to go down the road of what's Belichick doing? What's the plan? Did he drop the ball? Did he get caught with his pants down? Is he old and he's lost his A game? Those are all storylines that may be on the horizon, but the horizon is still more than a year away, right? It's still way off on that horizon. The water right in front of us is the water we're dealing with now.
I think the, you know...
I caught him speechless.
No, I'm just...
he's angry.
I'm not going to say
Nick Cattle's angry.
No, I'm just,
he doesn't want to talk about Brady Belichick. He doesn't want to talk about the here and now.
How many times do we have to go down the road of Brady versus... Like, I mean, Brady joined a team. We said this 2 weeks ago. Brady joined a team that was in position to win right now. That was their goal. That's why they go out and get the Antonio Browns of the world and all that good stuff. He joined a team that was willing to pay him over $50 million. Congratulations to Brady. At 43 years old, he cashed in on a big fat-ass contract. Congrats. Great. Belichick's evaluation of what was going on, and again, nobody can argue that he did not set himself up as good as he should have at the quarterback position once Brady walked. But the damage was done. The decisions had to be made. And Belichick's decision was, I'm not going to pay for 2 years of Tom Brady. I don't think he's going to be able to produce and be as good the next 2 years as he has been in the past. And let's not forget, Brady has all these weapons. He was not going to have those weapons in New England, folks. You were not going to have Chris Godwin and Mike Evans and Cameron Brate and O.J. Howard and Rob Gronkowski. You weren't going to have Ronald Jones and Leonard Fournette. You weren't going to have all of that in New England. So to judge what Brady's doing in Tampa right now and try to say that's what would be happening in New England is fool's gold. So the inevitable truth is that Brady needed Belichick, Belichick needed Brady. No one wants to say that because it's not sexy in radio.
But more importantly, for the here and the now, I think Bill took the admirable route. What's that poem? The road less traveled? You know what I think the easy thing for a coach who watches Tom Brady leave would have been? Kick the can down the road, redo all my contracts, go out and sign Jadeveon Clowney and Phillip Rivers and a bunch of players that I may or may not really believe in, but I'm scrambling because he did not panic. Now, felt like he panicked about a month ago when he started articulating his excuses a little bit, but for the actual plan of this season, he didn't take the easy route. He said, nope, I'm going to take my reset route, my economic route, my value-based route, and in a couple years, I'll get my answer. I will answer the call. That's not an easy thing to do because it's much easier to say, I'm going to try to match Tom Brady. I'm going to try to load up my roster to make sure I don't get embarrassed. He didn't do that.
He didn't do that. And again, the reason why it's just painful to try to just go through all of this crap, I like Andy said, I don't think we're going to truly know, you know, what this Patriots era is until a year or two down the road. And that not a popular thing to say. Right now, they're an average team at best, right? They might end up being a good team as we get closer to the end of the year. Maybe. But ultimately, the judgment will be what this team was between 2020 and 2025. And if Belichick rebuilds this in the offseason with the opportunity he has with the cap space that he has in a down year because of COVID, lots of teams are going to be cutting players because they're up against the cap already and the cap's going to lose $30 million.
Yep.
There's a golden opportunity this offseason. That's what it's all about, folks. It's, you know, we talk about week to week and because that's what we get paid to do, and this year counts, and we hope for the best and all that good stuff, and we'll break it down as good as anybody. But when we talk about the Brady versus Belichick conversation, that's a long-term conversation. That's what happens down the road. And if Belichick hits a triple, not even a home run, if he hits a triple this offseason, and this team becomes, again, an annual playoff team every single year, then, you know, I think people feel differently. So I just, we're asking for patience in a time where there is none. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. The text line is 37937. You can follow Andy on Twitter at Jumbo Heart. You can follow me as well at Nick C Radio.
I just get accused of ass-kissing Belichick.
Oh,
I can't win.
No.
Now I'm ass-kissing Belichick. Now, I wanted to trade him a couple weeks ago when I was a Belichick hater. Like, so what? Maybe that's because I don't have an agenda and I just kind of tell you what I think about individual topics. It's the damnedest thing. All you listeners should try it sometime. Bitches.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.